Y'all know what time it is.
Y'all don't know, y'all better ask somebody.
Hat on, hat on, suit on, suit on. Looking like the Capitan, giving a mug on. Dress like a million bucks, buying things in his cuffs. Y'all tell me, who could it be but Steve Harvey?
Oh, yeah.
Everybody out there listening to me. For Steve Harvey.
Put your hands together.
I sure will. Good morning, everybody. Y'all listening to The Voice. Come on now, dig me, if you will. One and only Steve Harvey. Got a radio show. Okay. Whew. I'm going to be honest with you. I was rushing this morning. So, but that's what it takes sometimes. Sometimes you have to put forth a different kind of effort. You know, one of the things about being successful, and I was sharing this just the other day with a young man, and he asked me, he said, "Hey man, I just don't see how you get up that early in the morning. I just don't see how, man. It would kill me to get up this early in the morning." Well, I sat there and I'm listening to it because it's just 1,000 times I've heard it, you know. And my life is, you know, not too different from a lot of people's lives. There's a lot of people out there that rise early. And I guess, I don't know what he wanted from me or how he wanted me to take what he said, but I just sat there, you know, just indifferent to the tones because I've heard it so many times. I don't know how you get up that early anymore. I don't know how you do all them jobs. And I just sit there, man, because, I mean, first of all, I'm grateful to be able to have a job. I'm so grateful to be able to do one and several that I happen to enjoy doing. I mean, you know, it's work and it's difficult at times, but it's, I mean, you know, I wanted this. You know, you can't ask God for nothing, then he give it to you, then be mad that you got it. Don't make no sense. You know, you ask him for something, he give it to you. The problem with asking God for stuff is a lot of times we ask him for stuff, we don't really know what all it encompasses, what all it really is. And I asked for this. Now, along the way, I've gotten far more than I asked for. I want you to do understand that. And, you know, that's his grace at work in my life. But I get up early and I go to work because I do understand something, that it is not walking up to you. Nobody walks up to people normally and just hand them checks all the time and enough checks to sustain your life and not only sustain it, but to have a life that where you could enjoy and do some of the things you want to do. I don't know the person that walks out, hands out that money just to be doing it. And then with a lifestyle, though, where you can, you know, give your kids a Christmas, you know, take your family on vacation, you know, a year, once a year. I don't know nobody passing out that kind of money. So I get up early in the morning and I get at it. I was taught to get up early in the morning by my father. Because my father says, ain't nothing gonna come to you while you laying there. And you know what? It's just true, man. It's just a little common sense. Look, old people smart, man. They've been around a long time. You don't get, you know, some old fools out there, but you know, you don't have to deal with them. But old people are pretty smart, man. They've learned a lot along the way. And waking up early and getting at it is one of them things. And I ask everybody, man, to think about this scenario of your life. I just want you to just, I want to show you some numbers. If a day has 24 hours in it, and let's just say you choose to sleep 8 of those hours because they tell you you need 8 hours sleep. So you sleep 8 hours. That's a third of your life asleep already. Just a third of your life is spent asleep if you're going to do 8 hours a day. You understand that? A third of your life is spent asleep. Now, let's say you have a job that you work 8 hours. And it's not the job of your dreams. It's not your dream career, your dream profession. It's just the one you took, like all of us, to get it started. And then, like all of us, some of us end up having to stay there because we've created these bills and we can't, because we check the check, so we can't leave it because we'll lose what we've worked for. So let's just say you got a job that you go to work to for 8 hours. That's another third of your life. That's two-thirds of your life spent doing something. How do I put this to you? All right, Steve, just leave it there. That's two-thirds of your life. Feel how you want to feel about your two-thirds. Well, I like sleep. Okay, cool. There's a scripture about that, too. But now you spend two-thirds of your life, one on a job you don't care for if you're not happy there, or one that just pays the bills and it's not your dream job or career. Another third of your life is sleep. Oh, now let's hold on. Let's talk about the 1 hour of preparation that it may take to get to the job. Let's just say you wake up, you know, brush your teeth, shower, have a little breakfast, get dressed. Let's just say that's an hour. So now we're talking 16 hours, 8 hours sleep, 8 hours on your job. That's 16 hours. You got ready time, 1 hour. That's 17 hours. Let's say your drive time, let's say getting to your job for the average person is anywhere between 30 to an hour. That's an average of what it takes the average person. Now, some people out there hustling way harder than that. But let's just say your average is an hour getting to work. You add another hour to that going to work. You've now spent 18 hours out of the 24 doing something that's either non-productive, you're not happy with, you're not pleased about, is not your dream job, is not your dream profession, and the rest of the time you sleep. 18 hours. That's going to work. Now, you got to come from the job. So let's just say it's another hour to get back home. That's 19 hours. 19 hours out of a 24-hour day. A third of it you've been asleep. A third of it you've been on a job that you're not happy with. You took an hour to get ready to go to the job that you're not happy with, that you just spent a third of your life sleeping to get ready for. You spent an hour getting there, and you spent an hour getting back. That's 19 hours out of 24 hours. You now have 5 hours left in your day. Oh, you watch TV 2 hours a day? Okay, excuse me. Now you put 2 hours of TV on there. You've just spent 21. You now have 3 hours in the day to do something super productive for the development of yourself and the future of your family and your future as a person and what you can provide for your family. Uh-oh, I need to chill. I need to smoke one. Uh-oh, I need some time at happy hour. Seem like all I do is drive to work and go to work. I'm gonna go out with the fellas, drink one. Okay, let's say you spend 2 hours at happy hour. Nobody go to happy hour just for an hour. Let's say you spend 2 hours at happy hour or smoking or some video games. Let's throw that in there. 2 hours of smoking, chilling, reading the paper, video games. That's 23 hours of your day gone. Don't you see how your day slips away from you? So why would you get up early? You get up early to get a jump. You get up early to produce, to plan, to become productive. You get up early in the morning to care about every single minute of your day. You wake up early in the morning because you have a plan, a mission. You have something you want to accomplish. So you wake up early, and you go, as the earlier you get up, the more time you have just for you to devote to your plan. You map it out. You make some, send some emails. You do some Google searches. Whatever it is you need to do to get your dream underway. Then you go get ready. Then you get in your car and go to work. Then you go to your job. But on your job, instead of sitting at your lunch break messing around with a bunch of people laughing and talking about nothing, playing dominoes, why don't you take that hour to do some more research, to do some more Googling, to send out some more emails. Do something, man, with all these precious hours that God gives all of us in the course of a day. Take advantage of every minute of that. No human being has more than 24 hours a day, including myself. But if you care about every single minute of that day, you'll be amazed at how much you could get accomplished in a 24-hour day. But you can't get none of that happening because you sleep and you chilling. And you smoking. Okay, what has that done for you, your family, or your future? Care about every minute of your day.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys and girls, people anywhere in this world, let me tell you what's happening right now. You're tuned in to the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Here, if I may say so, myself. Period. Good morning, Shirley.
Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Carla.
Hello. Good morning, everyone.
Hello, Junior.
Good morning, Ock.
Thomas Miles.
Yay, yay.
Wait a minute. You're not going to say anything about how Junior said good morning?
No,
that
I
was
didn't
strong.
Hear what he said.
That was
morning, Ock.
Yeah.
Yeah, that ain't going to last, Shirley. He can't stay it. That register way too low.
He can't hold that one.
No, I can't stand it. I'm back.
Right there.
That took everything out of you, didn't it, Junior?
Yeah. I couldn't do it. What morning, Unc.
Yeah. Morning, everybody.
So somebody asked me how the mentoring is going.
Hey, Unc, how the mentoring going?
How's the mentoring going?
With you, Junior?
Oh, no, I'm Tommy.
Splendid. With Tommy, ain't heard from it.
Okay.
I'm just talking St. Patty's Day that came and gone.
Okay.
What you got to do with it?
So, okay, wait a minute. What, maybe we can, what are you doing with Junior that maybe you can try
well, first of all, let me say, I knew
Tommy
wasn't going to show up on St. Patty's Day because he was busy.
What do you mean busy? He's not Irish.
He ain't Irish.
You know, they hire a lot of leprechauns show up. He's been at bars and pubs. Ran his little ass raggedy.
I'm not gonna do this with y'all.
I'm talking about some Patty guests. He had some guest appearances. Y'all don't know nothing about it. He tried to keep that gig secret from me.
Magically
but I was
delicious.
I'm passing by this one pub out here in LA. I mean, I said that leprechaun show is dog.
Black leprechaun.
Magically delicious.
He couldn't be there on the 17th.
No.
He was busy.
Boy, that boy was.
Okay, so then there was the 18th. Yeah, what happened then?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Okay, whose fault is it now?
Well, I'll tell you what, it sure ain't mine.
You know what?
Because
you guys are both busy.
Early. He don't really feel like fooling with me. He likes to get on this radio and do all this, but really, my uncle ain't interested in doing nothing with me. He loved me, you know, but he loved me from a distance.
Oh.
Yeah, he loved me from
now,
way
over there.
Now,
part of that's true.
What part?
Loving you from a distance.
He didn't say that much. What part?
Yeah, that part is true, yeah. But, hands down, see, I would help him. It's so easy for me to do. But he ain't asked me one time. You can call, text. You can do anything. We're in a tech society now. He keep wanting this sit down. But every time I turn around, he got family duty. His family duty, damn near jury duty. He at the park.
Mm.
He at the school
well,
events.
It was spring break.
So,
I ain't got no problem with that. But before spring break, technology. Unc, let me ask you a question. Somebody offered me this. What's your thoughts? Then I could text him back.
Maybe that's
Shirley,
not the kind of mentoring he needs.
On 30-something funny. I'm going to show you how mentoring works.
Okay, and we have something else planned for you on 30-something funny,
That'll be
too.
Just fine.
All right, so as Steve just mentioned, we'll be back with 30-something funny at 32 after.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Now, before we went to break, we were talking about the mentoring between you and your nephew, Steve. Nephew Tommy, of course. kind of hasn't happened yet.
Well, yeah, you know.
But you guys are both busy.
We are, but you know.
He ain't nowhere near as busy as
me. I'm not close, but I'm about half of that though. I be moving and shaking now. I be trying.
I got
well,
all
wait,
that.
You had a few days off, Steve. Didn't you just tell us you had a couple of days off?
Ain't heard from me.
What happened, Tommy?
You want the truth?
Kids was on spring break.
We always
kids
want the
on
truth.
Spring break, but Carl, when we got off Friday, the words in the microphone after we left were, "Don't nobody blank with me this weekend." You didn't hear that?
But that didn't mean you. Did
oh.
That didn't mean you.
Oh, it mean me first.
Well, why didn't you just send
true.
A text?
That's
and
true.
Say,
what, Steve?
That's true. That do mean him first.
Why? Well, he's supposed to get mentored if he don't know when to call.
And now,
exactly. No.
Hey.
What?
He could have called. Look here. When he want passes to Universal, he called.
Okay, so what you're
if
saying
he
is.
If you need a VIP for Universal, he called.
Okay.
See, you know,
watch it.
When
watch
he needs something like that, he need tickets in somewhere. He called.
Watch this shirt.
Okay. Oh.
Ain't Marjorie out of town right now? Mm-hmm. Uncle Steve at home by himself.
Right.
If I show up at the gate and they call him, do you know it 50-50 if he gonna really let me in? Do you know that?
Well, you gotta take a chance.
Yeah, you have to. You
no
can't.
Risk,
you can't.
No reward.
Yeah, you can't.
But it has
be
happened before. Ask
but
him. Have I
me.
Not showed up to that gate and he ain't said nothing to me by coming over here today? No.
You didn't let him in.
Okay, so we need more from you, Tommy, and
we
need
kids riding by each other's house on bikes.
And we need more from you, Steve.
We need access to get
no,
in the
no,
house.
No.
We
See,
need a little 50, more.
50-50 if he get in, but it's zero if you don't go to the gate.
Yeah, you have to
exactly.
Go.
Yeah,
it's definitely
you know.
That.
So he done did a zero.
We're gonna quit acting like these. We're gonna quit acting like these pearly gates, though. And this is Jesus. We're gonna quit this.
But see, who said
no one's
that?
Doing that?
Ain't nobody said nothing about them being pearly gates.
Okay. They're not. Just go, Tommy.
Okay.
But you should call for you.
I'm gonna go to this gate one more time.
Are you gonna call first?
I'll text because that's what he don't want to call.
Okay.
He don't pick that up. Remember?
Okay.
That's true.
It's so many different things you gotta remember.
A lot of rules, but it's always gonna be a lot of red tape and rules and. You know, all that, if you want something
really bad. Could you text him before you go and say, hey, I'm on my way?
Like a normal person?
Yeah.
Now, I'm probably not supposed to say. Now, I didn't send him three sitcoms.
Listen, Steve.
I'm listening.
I sent three sitcoms.
Okay.
Incredible sitcoms. They just didn't make it to him. They didn't make it.
No, I'm just saying now. Okay. Okay, so
Disney got the Incredibles.
And the sequel's coming out soon.
Yes. All right, so we have to work on this. Okay, right. let's set a goal for the meeting. Let's set
he
a goal.
Ain't gonna do it, Shirley.
I'm
just gonna go on with what else you got.
We're gonna set a goal before
See
this,
how he run over.
This morning is over.
Tommy, text me whatever you want to talk about. While we on
An
the
agenda.
Radio. We got 4 hours. We got 3 hours left. Text me. Why are we on the radio? What you want to talk about? Or what you need? Just text me. I'm telling you, ladies, did y'all hear that?
I ain't even got text. I tell you right now, I want Family Feud. I just tell you right now, I want Family Feud.
What you mean? You want to be on Family Feud?
No, hell no. I want the job.
You want to host it?
Well,
yeah.
They already have a host.
Right. He working it.
Right. But he's doing too much, isn't he?
How you going to tell the current host you want the job to his face?
No wonder he's not meeting with you.
No wonder he ain't mentoring your ass.
You're on his heels.
Okay.
Don't nobody even.
Why do I do Family Feud in another country?
Go on over there.
You don't even speak the language.
It don't matter. He ain't gonna get this one.
All right, listen.
Man, if he walk his short ass out there, and they see it ain't me.
Yeah.
All that clapping gonna stop. Ladies and gentlemen, your host of Family Feud. Dun, 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 dun.
Well, I'm assuming.
Who is the little dude?
I'm assuming you're going to pass the gauntlet, you know, give him a proper introduction if this does happen, Steve. You're
man,
not going to just throw him to the
about,
wolves.
Man, I'm going to be doing this about. I'll probably do Family Feud probably eight more years.
Oh, well, Tommy.
You take that off your list.
Yeah.
What else you got?
Yeah.
Scratch that. Go ahead.
All right. Do we have time to get to this? Okay. In a recent interview, we all know who Warren Buffett is. He's a billionaire. He said that doubling your net worth won't make you happier. Okay. He said, Warren Buffett said, I wasn't happy when I had $10,000 when I got out of school. This is during an interview on the CNBC. He said, I was having a lot of fun. Buffett said people often think that having more money will make them happier. Yeah, I can agree with that. Most people do think that. He says, but unhappy people will probably stay unhappy no matter how much money they have. Buffett says, if, for example, you have $100,000 and you're an unhappy person and you think $1 million is going to make me happy, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So, Steve, you know I have to ask you this question. Right. How has doubling, in your case, tripling, quadrupling, whatever the case, how has that changed your life? Has it made you
happy as hell? What Warren Buffett is talking about.
And he's in the top 10 billionaires, right? Yeah, in the world.
Clueless what he's talking about.
I would have to disagree too, sure.
Yeah, what article he did this in? How long ago this was?
It was in an interview with CNBC.
Well, yeah, let me tell you this. He made a true statement, honestly speaking. If you're not a happy person, you're not a happy person. Mm-hmm. Money does not make you happy. I am at the happiest I've ever been right now, because my life is in the most peace. But it's not because of money. It's because of my mate.
Oh, that's nice to say. That really is sweet to say. That's
my life is at its happiest and most peace because of my mate.
Coming up next is The Nephew with Run That Prank Back.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, we're going to talk to Miss Ann. She's going to be here with today's national news.
Also, Shirley.
Yes, Steve.
Coming up at the top of the hour.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask you a personal question about me.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Ah. Okay.
Yeah. Ask me about you. Deep. I know all about you. I've been around for you. You want to ask somebody that really know you.
What is wrong with you today, nephew?
Oh, no. With this mentoring thing that started, we finna ride it out today. Come on.
Get to the prank. What's in the prank?
Go big or go
still
home.
Ain't text me nothing.
Go big.
It's on you. The ball is in your court.
Go big or go home. Here it is.
Hello? Hello, I'm trying to reach Darnell. Darnell. Let's see. Who is this? Darnell, how you doing? This is Scott with Bigger and Better, where we make you large and in charge. How you doing today?
Scott who?
My name is Scott, and I'm with Bigger and Better, where we make you large and in charge.
I'm good, Scott. What's up?
We were actually given a phone call by your wife. Your wife is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you know, your wife's birthday is coming up pretty soon. Is that right?
Yeah. It's a couple weeks. Yeah, it's coming up.
Okay. Have you decided on getting her anything, or have you purchased anything yet?
No. I got a couple things in mind.
Well, actually, we got a call from I think we've got something that's gonna really help you guys, and something I think that she wanted to recommend. That's something that you probably wouldn't think about getting.
All right, I'm all ears.
Okay,
I've been racking my brain, so I'm all ears.
Actually, gave us a call. She's actually had an idea, you know, what she would really, really like for her birthday present. So,
what's the name of your company again?
Bigger and Better. Like I said,
hold on. She called you.
I'm sorry?
She called you to give me an idea on what I should get her for her birthday?
Yeah, well, this is something that's a little different, and it's something that you probably would never in a million years think of. But here at Bigger and Better, where we make you large and in charge, we actually do some things that we definitely know you wouldn't have thought of. So I definitely understand her giving
Sam,
us a call.
Sam, what's your name? What's your name again, Sam?
No,
Sam.
Scott.
Scott, get to the point. What you selling?
Actually, let us know that there's some things that are really, really lacking between you guys. And she would very much like for her birthday where you can be a lot more well endowed. So, you know, that's what we do here at Bigger and Better.
What?
We actually, hello?
What? I could be more what?
More well endowed, sir. So I think really what's going on is Bianca's really not satisfied right now.
And she called you to tell you that I'm not, what do you mean well endowed? My junk?
sir, you're inadequate. You know what I mean? I guess maybe very impotent. I'm not sure, but
are you kidding me? What's the name of this company again?
Bigger and Better, where we make you large and in charge. And right now, you know, you're not large and in charge, and we want to get you to that. Are you able to come in for a consultation?
A consultation. I'll tell you what. I'm going to call her right now because this is a right now, okay? I'm going to call her.
Do you not think you need to come in?
I don't even think I need to be talking to you, Mr. Scott, about whatever is going on in my bedroom. I'm king, so I'm not even. I don't even know what the going on.
Whatever service you're selling, whatever services you offer
me, that's going to increase me in the bedroom.
This is the first sign of denial, right here.
I don't have no denial. I don't have no problems in the bedroom.
Okay, well, you
know what I'm saying? I don't even. Why am I even still on the phone with you?
Okay, but sir, I mean, you
ain't have to worry about hearing from her. If she's got some kind of account with you, then you go ahead and close that out.
Okay, Mr. Darnell, let me say this: you have a very big ego, sir. What I want to do is you know, but you're not as big as your ego. I want to get you to that point.
This is some crazy. I've heard some crazy things people sell online, but you're gonna call me talk about my wife called you saying that I'm inadequate in the bedroom.
Sir, you know what? And once again,
I'm trying, Will. I know you're just doing your job, Scott. But I'm gonna have to call her right now. Okay.
Don't worry, lose my number, Scott.
Don't call me.
You're in denial.
I'm in denial. You. Hello,
sir. I really want to help you as much as I can.
Listen, man. Listen. I'm trying to get my wife on the phone right now. Okay. I know you got a job to do, but what I need you to do right now is stop calling me, all right? I'm trying to be nice to you because I'm sure whatever it is, she called you and you're just doing your job,
okay,
all right?
But sir, I'm trying to get you in here to get a consultation so we can get you further along than where you are.
A consultation? I don't need no consultation. I don't need no assistance from you, Scott.
Okay, sir, you're
call me no more, man.
Hey, you're small and I want to make you bigger.
You want to make me bigger? What is this anyway? You make bigger, huh? What kind of job is that? How you even get a job like that? You apply for this job? You an idiot? Were you a high school dropout?
Sir, I'm trying to get you in. Stop calling me, man. Mr. Darnell, I'm still trying to help you get through this situation, okay? Are you willing to come in for a consultation? At least we're coming in for a consultation. We can get you further along than where you are.
Are you listening to me? The only consultation we're going to have is my fist in your face if you call me again. Tell you what, I will come in for a consultation. Give me your address and everything like that, all your information, and I will come down for a consultation. You going to be there?
I'm here the first 8 hours of the day, sir. What I want to do is get you lined up and get your procedure.
Let me call my wife. I don't need no damn procedure. Give me your info, and you don't have to worry about hearing from us no more, okay? But right now, I need you to get off the phone. I don't want to hang up on you. I understand you're trying to do your job.
Mr. Darnell, you're small. I'm trying to make you bigger,
man,
sir.
Man, f*** you.
Hey, sir, you know what? I'm trying to help you. You're the person that's a little small guy. I'm trying to help you with your problem. Now, if you're not going to be appreciative of it, then I don't even understand why your wife knows you're having a problem.
Give me your address, and we can have this conversation face-to-face. You don't know who the
then
f***
why would your wife call here,
man,
sir?
It doesn't matter. If I can get on the line, I can figure out why she calls you.
Hey, sir, here's the problem. You're tiny and you don't want to admit
I'm tiny?
It. Let me get you.
You don't know me, man. You never seen me. You don't know anything about me. I can't even believe my wife would even call you with this. This is how you do business? You gonna call me and call me I'm tiny?
Sir, let me explain something to you. I'm not only the president, but I'm also a client, sir.
I don't give a what you are, okay?
Okay. And there are some other things that let us know as well.
What the would that be?
She also wanted me to tell you that this is Nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife just prank phone called you, man.
Man, that ain't funny, man. I'm all here over here looking at my in the mirror. Man, it's kind of great to call her. I thought I was good, but I got a little nervous there. I was like, man.
What's the baddest radio show in the land?
Come on, now you know it's a Steve Harvey radio show.
That's me. That's me. Go home. There it is. That's how you prank the baby. What? But in the meantime, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, the nephew was in Memphis, Tennessee. Chuckles Comedy Club. Tickets are going fast. Get yours right now. The nephew, the fool, is coming to town. Barbecue and nephew all in the same city at the same time. Get them. They on sale right now. What should I text him, Shirley?
Wow. You the one want to be mentored. Yes. Your uncle asked
help
you earlier.
Being mentored.
Yeah.
Shirley, that's a damn shame.
Say it again, Steve. What?
He needs help being mentored.
That's crazy.
So Shirley, he needs help from y'all to get mentoring from me. How that's
Tommy.
Sound?
Huh? Tommy. He's not a stranger. That's your uncle.
Ask him whatever you want.
But he act like a stranger, Carla.
Look.
Doesn't. How?
We gotta go.
Lied now, Tommy. Even the girls know that.
Okay, there are no more perfect brackets.
Should have opened the damn gate when I was at
the
gate.
Coming up at the top of the hour, Miss Ann is going to be here with today's national news and the Sweet 16 March Madness.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, so you were saying about, what Warren Buffett said. And
you know, I was going to ask you to make a statement about me, but I've changed my mind. Let me just say this. Warren Buffett is correct in that money does not make you happy. Mm-hmm. If you're not a happy person, getting money not gonna make you happy. Now, I jokingly said that it made me a lot happier. It opened up. But what it did was I was really already a happy person. Mm-hmm. I may have been in some dark places and some dark spots in my life, but I was basically a happy person. So being a little bit more well-to-do has just created an opportunity to do more with the happiness.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it does. The real thing about money is it just takes all emergencies and turns them into mere inconveniences. It just makes your life a little bit more convenient.
Well, what about when you said having more money just makes you more of who you are? Remember you said that?
Yeah, that's a true statement. Uh-huh. So like if you're an unhappy person, a lot of money, you're going to be more reasons to be unhappy.
Just rich and mad.
Yeah, just rich and sad. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very rich, sad people out there. Yeah. You know, who know the principles of success, but for some reason can't pull that part of their life together for various reasons. So I've been generous. I've been overly generous at times. I've had to learn how of late to cut that back because people take advantage of it. I've been more than generous in my life because I'm a generous person. My father was. He'll give you the shirt off his back. I got that from him. My mother always told me, she said, you just like your daddy. Your daddy do anything he can to help somebody he care about. Mm. He said, you just like him. And you just like him, too, because you a fight. You and your daddy just fight.
And boy, was she right.
Come home some night, just shirt toe off. He'll change his shirt and go back down there. I said, well, yeah.
At least cool. We know where you got it from. You got it honest.
So I'm cool with that, but that's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Hey, let's talk about the NBA for a minute. I mean, not the NBA, the NCAA.
Let's talk. Let's talk basketball,
baby. We got the brackets. There's been a lot of upsets. The Sweet 16 is in. Out in the West, I think. Out West, in the South bracket, we got Kansas State and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
I predict now Kentucky is number 5 and Kansas State is number 9. Mm-hmm. I predict Kentucky to come out of there. The next one, the big upset, Loyola Chicago shocked Tennessee, yeah. Which I kind of saw that coming. I was thinking that. I didn't pick them early, but I got on the bandwagon against Nevada. Now, they 11, Nevada number 7. I think Loyola Chicago, them boys up there going to shock
that's Cinderella, huh? That's the Cinderella team.
Yeah.
I think they going to shock Nevada, too. You're right, Tommy. Xavier and Florida State. Now, I told you, Florida State, I told you the team from Florida. I couldn't figure out the name of it, but here we is, though.
Yeah, but they finna go up against Gonzaga now.
No, they going up against, that's right. They up against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Because they beat Xavier.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they did.
See, I told y'all, that stunned them.
Man.
Now, Gonzaga hard to beat because they go there every year. So I'm just in prayer with Florida State. Houston had Michigan, man.
They did.
Had them.
Had Michigan. Michigan beat Houston, so they against Texas A&M. That's Tommy's old college. So automatically, I pulls for Michigan.
See, you foul.
See, that's wrong.
They gave y'all Johnny Manziel.
Ever since they gave us that drunk-ass quarterback, little junky ass. We'll finish the bracket up on the East when we come back.
Yeah, introduce Miss Ann, Steve.
Ladies
She's
and gentlemen,
by.
Miss Ann Tripp.
Thank you very much, everybody. Good morning. This is Andrew for the news. Police in Austin, Texas are looking for a serial bomber, perhaps one with a racist agenda. The first three devices were package bombs left on three doorsteps, but Austin Police Chief Brian Manley says that the fourth bomb was set off by a tripwire along the side of a road in a residential neighborhood, leaving two men injured.
What we have seen now is a significant change from what appeared to be three very targeted attacks to what was last night an attack that would have hit a random victim that happened to walk by. So we've definitely seen a change.
But now a package blew up, they say, this morning at a FedEx outlet near San Antonio, Texas. And they say that package was being mailed to Austin, Texas. Chief Manley says his detectives feel that all the explosions, which have taken place since March 2nd, are linked. President Trump paid a visit to New Hampshire yesterday to host an event dealing with the nation's opioid crisis.
Every day, 116 Americans die from an opioid-related overdose. In New Hampshire, the overdose really death rate. I mean, can you believe this? The death rate is double the national average. It's got difficulties like people wouldn't believe.
And the president said the country needs to get tough and officially proposed that the death penalty be meted out to certain drug dealers. Yeah, he said the penalty for certain drug dealers should be death. Meanwhile, shares of Facebook took a nosedive on the market yesterday, one day after it was reported that a data firm that did work for Donald Trump's presidential campaign improperly used data from 50 million Facebook customers. Facebook has since suspended Cambridge Analytica, that's the name of the firm, for holding on to the personal data collected after claiming that it was deleted. According to former employees and Facebook, the breach allowed Cambridge to exploit the social media activity of those voters. The Tennessee state legislature voted last week to kill a resolution that would have condemned the alt-right, neo-Nazis, and white nationalists as terror groups. They didn't even vote on the measure. The U.S. Supreme Court has dealt a legal blow to Republicans in Pennsylvania by keeping in place a revised map of the state's congressional districts, one that allows Democrats to probably pick up as many as four seats in this year's elections while making some other races in that state more competitive. The High Court refused to hear the GOP's request to place the new map on hold. Aretha Franklin has canceled two upcoming concerts, reportedly on orders from her doctor. Reports say the Queen of Soul has been ordered to stay off the road and get some rest for at least the next 2 months. And happy birthday to Spike Lee.
Please, baby, please, baby, please, baby, please.
Oh, you're such a cutie, Spike. We'll be back with more entertainment and today's trending topics 20 minutes after the hour on the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, there are some who believe the reason Bruno Mars took home the Album of the Year award at this year's Grammy Awards is because he's a non-black musician who sings predominantly black music.
But what is he?
He's Hawaiian.
He's Puerto Rican and what? Filipino.
Filipino, yeah.
So what?
Well, that's what they're saying, because there's been this ongoing debate surrounding him. He's being accused of cultural appropriation.
What is that?
Yeah, it's like, you know, you're taking our music, black music, making it your own.
Yeah.
We don't own nothing.
Well, you know, listen to this, Steve. Stevie Wonder is pretty upset about that. He was asked how he felt. He said, this is what Stevie Wonder, the true legend of music, said. He said, music is for everyone to enjoy, so we cannot limit ourselves by people's fears and insecurities. He's a great talent, talking about Bruno Mars now. The other stuff is just bull. So I got to ask you, Steve, what do you think?
That's exactly right. That's Stevie Wonder talking.
Yeah.
Mad at Bruno Mars because he's doing black music. Hell, we don't do our own music no damn more. Did he say that?
It's different.
This new generation has built careers off of sampling. He's just the baddest thing out there walking right now. The band, the harmony, the lyrics, the moves, the whole thing. I could be wrong. I don't know of any young musical, you know, look, I'm not talking about that like John Legend and these people out here. Look, hip hop is making tons of billions of dollars. I'm talking about real music. Bruno Mars is playing real music that's in a throwback to what I grew up listening to. That's why I love him. That's why Stevie Wonder loves him. That's what they're doing.
But this generation has made billions of dollars off of sampling. So why would anybody be upset about Bruno Mars talking about he's stealing something culturally? Music is for everybody. These is notes. A, B, C, D, D flat, E sharp, F, G. These is notes.
That's what these is.
That's what these is.
You can go play them notes too.
All day. Mm-hmm.
The hell they mad at Bruno Mars for? That's ridiculous. That's the dumbest thing. We got a president up here. Look, man. We got a president up here.
Tweet.
About to move dreamers out this country. About to build a damn wall. Then put a better tax plan that don't help none of y'all's asses. And we sitting up here worrying about what the hell Bruno Mars is playing.
All right, listen, Steve.
Man, I'm with you when you're right, man.
Man.
Coming up at 34 right after the hour, we all know about the Blue Ivy Carter $19,000 auction story. Plus, we'll tell you about spending your parents' money right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, Steve, this is a story. It's so cute. It's been trending for a few days now. You were actually invited to the Wearable Art Gallery here in Los Angeles. It was hosted by Beyonce's mom and her stepdad, Tina Knowles Lawson and Richard Lawson. So this year's theme was From Waco to Wakanda. And, well, Beyonce and Jay's daughter, Blue Ivy, stole the show, as she's been doing lately, huh, little Blue Ivy?
She's so cute.
She bidded, check this out, little Blue Ivy bidded $19,000 on a piece of art.
My mama would have backhanded my ass so hard. My lips would have been twice the size they already is. Nah, I'd have raised my black ass hand. You ain't working nowhere.
So this is what her daddy Jay-Z did. He just kind of playfully pulled her little paddle away.
Come on, give me that back.
So here's a question for you, Steve. Have you ever tried to suggest how to spend your parents' hard-earned money?
What?
Man,
I think I know the answer to that question from you, Steve.
What money?
First, let's start.
We
there.
Didn't have no extra. Uh-huh. But if I'd have took my man, let me tell you something. If I'd have took my ass to the store and bought a Mary Jane and didn't have, that one piece of candy was 2 cents. If I'd have came back with five Mary Janes, a dime. I'd have got a $20 ass whooping. And back in the 60s, that's a long, long ass whooping. Oh, you down here spending money. Yeah. Oh, you working now. Oh, okay. Oh, that's what you doing. Oh, you taking money without asking. Dad, I just bought you money. Because I had the Mary Jane. He started talking to my mouth full of Mary Jane, slobbing out the corner of my mouth. I had two of them in there one time. He's a boy. How come you didn't bring a pound of bologna like I had? Huh? I said, you ain't have no money, Daddy.
Uh-oh.
He said, well, what's that in your mouth?
Mm-mm.
He said, so I said, that's candy.
Mm.
He said, how much candy you buy? I said, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
How much? Yeah. Now I'm trying not to, I want to swallow this.
Can't.
But how to kill myself. How to choke to him. I wanted to swallow him like two rocks of crack.
Oh.
But I couldn't. It was too much for me. So I was trying to put it in the side of my mouth and act like I didn't have it.
Uh-huh.
He says, so let me ask you something. So you done went out to the store, and instead of getting what I told you to get, you done bought some damn candy with the money. Huh?
Right.
Another huh?
Two in a row.
Ooh.
But I'm starting to tear up because I see where this is going.
Yeah.
So then I said, Daddy, we just ain't have enough money. He said, we get some change.
Uh-oh.
Mm. That's it right there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir. Mm. How much change we get?
What's the pause?
That's too long.
Yeah,
that pause too long.
90 cents.
Whoa.
How much was the bologna?
Uh-oh.
Ain't the bologna 94 cents a pound?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Huh?
God, you can't get that price anymore.
So now what you done did is, you done bought a dime worth of candy.
Uh-oh.
So now we can't get the pound of bologna, but you done bought the money back, but you got a mouth full of candy. Now you come back and tell me we ain't have enough money.
Now, how you think this finna go right here?
Oh, he asked you first.
I said, not good.
Don't say another, huh? Do not
I don't want to get no whooping, Daddy. I know you don't. I already know you don't. But who told you to buy that damn candy instead of bringing that damn bologna back to this house?
Uh-huh.
Huh?
Another huh?
Mm-hmm.
Go downstairs and wait on me.
Uh-oh.
So I had to go to the basement and stand by the furnace.
Mm-hmm. God.
He took a bath, ate, read the newspaper. I was down there about an hour and 45.
Ain't nothing worse than waiting on a
woman.
That's death right there.
All right, well.
So does that answer your question? Blue eyes.
About spending your parents'
money. $19,000.
Yes, it does. All right, nephew Tommy is on deck up next with a prank phone call.
A prank call.
Right after this.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, it's the nephew. Right here with the prank phone call. What you got now?
Invitation to the party.
Oh, okay. That sounds nice.
Invitation.
Reasonable.
To the party. Sound good, don't it?
Yes, it does.
Sound good?
As a matter of fact, yes.
Run it.
Hello? Yeah, I'm trying to reach Danny. Yeah, what's up? This is Danny. Hey, Danny, how you doing? My name is Paul, man. How you doing today, bro?
I'm good, man. I'm good. What's up?
Hey, man, I wanted to reach out to you, man, about your wife. You married to Nicole, right? I want to make sure I got the right person.
Yeah. Yeah, uh-huh. Now, who is this again?
My name is Paul, man. I know Nicole. Nicole knows my wife. My wife is Regina. And, you know, we know Nicole real well, man. We was trying to actually see about getting you guys to come out and maybe go out on a double date, man. We all go out and hit the town.
So you know my wife, Nicole?
Yeah. I got your number out of Nicole's phone. And,
okay, hold up. Wait. What you mean you got my number out of Nicole's phone? I'm not understanding what's going on, dog.
Okay, let me try to break this down to you, man. Myself, my wife, Virginia, and Nicole, we've all actually been hanging out lately, you know, within the last 6 weeks to 2 months. You know, we've been hanging out.
You ain't hanging out with my wife.
Okay.
My wife with me all the time, bro. So, you know, you might have the wrong number.
No, you Danny, right?
I'm Danny.
Okay, and Nicole is your wife. Nicole is like about 5'4", 5'5", light skin.
That's my wife. You ain't hanging out with her.
Okay, man, I'm trying to explain to you what's going on. Now, if you want to listen to me, cool. I'm just trying. Okay, here's what's up.
Get to your point, man.
Me, Nicole, and my wife have been swinging.
That's some bullshit. Okay. And you know what? You walking up the wrong tree, dog. There's some bullshit. You know, there's some bullshit.
Hey, man, I wanted to call you and tell you what was going on and see if you wanted to, you know.
You got the wrong number for sure. Trust me, you got the wrong number.
Let's just break this down, man. How many Danny is it, dog? It ain't that many. So, you going to be in denial or you going to go and accept what I'm trying to tell you? I'm trying to invite you to come hang out with me and the girls. You know, do you want to, I mean, this might be something you might like if you try it, man, because, I mean, we had a lot of fun with Nicole.
Like what? What the hell you mean you had fun with Nicole? You ain't no goddamn fun with Nicole. So what you trying to tell me? You trying to tell me y'all?
We had fun with Nicole. I'm trying to explain to you. We've done some.
Explain explain man. This is some bullshit.
Okay.
I know my wife, and I know she ain't no bullshit like that.
Okay.
And I ain't never heard no. I ain't never heard of you and your wife, and we've been together for years, so there's some bullshit.
Okay, well here's something you need to understand, man. You know your wife, but
I don't need to understand nothing. You need to understand that this is bullshit.
Your wife, but I know her too. I know her. I know Nicole now. Me and Nicole is.
You know what? Where you at?
I'm rolling through the city right now. I got some work I got to do, but I'm just trying to see.
Yeah, I need to put my eyes on you. I need to put my eyes on you, man.
Okay. Hey, man, do you want to come do what we be doing? And
so you trying to tell me that my wife done been with another woman?
Yes, man. It's beautiful, dog. You got to see it, man.
You.
Man, dog, I'm just trying to keep it real with you, dog. I was just trying to holler at you, man. Let you know what was going on. See, I'm thinking you might want to be a, you know, try it yourself. You know, that's all I'm thinking, man. I ain't trying to start nothing.
You know what, mother? I don't know no guy, Paul. I don't know no mother, Gina. And I don't know why the you calling my phone. And I tell you what, when my wife get home, I'm going to find out about because this some bullshit. This some bullshit, man.
Okay,
no. Problem.
Okay, dog, calm down, though, man.
No, calm my you done called my mother. Number. How the hell you gonna tell me to calm down? You telling me you f***ing my wife? What, your wife sleeping with my wife with another woman?
Hey man, Tommy is the one that told us that Nicole was down. Hold up.
Who the f*** Tommy?
Hey dog, nephew Tommy from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Hey, Danny. This is nephew Tommy, man, from the Steve Harvey Morning Show. Your wife Nicole got me to prank phone call you, dog.
Man, that ain't even funny. Wow. Wow.
Hey, man, you all right? You all right, man?
Man, I'm glad this was just the morning show, man, and y'all just missed me. But look here. Man, somebody gonna f*** you up one day. Lying. Boy, somebody gonna get your ass. I hope you got a good insurance policy.
Daddy, I gotta ask you, man, what is the baddest, and I mean the baddest radio show in the land?
Hey, number one, man. The Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Anybody want to go?
I'll pass.
Huh?
Nah, man, I'm out.
Huh?
You can take it.
Ah, y'all ain't never been to the swinger party. I don't nobody want to go.
No, you're the only one.
No, only
you're
swan.
The only one, yeah.
Call STD.
Tommy, I heard it be a lot of ugly-ass people at the swinger club.
What did you say, Steve?
Tommy, I heard it be a lot of ugly-ass people at the swinger club.
How the hell I know? Hey.
You did
you
the prank.
Go? I did the prank.
Junior. You did the prank.
You ever been there?
Nah, but for what I can understand, it is. I heard a lot of other
I got
people.
A partner that go, he swear them down, they be fine, but I don't understand it.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
You don't understand
mm-mm.
what, that they're fine or why they go in the first place?
I just can't believe
the
that.
Swap.
I can't believe that. Some super fine chick that's going to lay there and let everybody walk in this room. Wow. For no money.
None. Mm-mm.
For no money.
Uh-uh. What you know, let's do a case study. Why don't we all go? And you know, let's just you know, we just
go
going
by yourself.
To,
so
we just
stupid.
Going to take notes.
First of all, Tommy.
Carla Shirley, let's just
Tommy,
no, I'm not going.
Two
not
reasons going. I'm not going.
Well, you Harvey. You know
first and
he's
foremost.
Too famous.
Yeah. I'm famous.
Yeah.
You can't do that.
But we get a hat down on that head
the,
though.
Course, I can't even go for the course study. Secondly, Tommy.
That is
at 61,
uh-huh.
I've lived longer than I got left. Oh, I'm too close.
Trying to get in there.
The gospel song.
To turn back now.
With the swing of
trying to get in.
Lord, I'm too close.
I thought we were swinging. What?
No, we're not now.
Be quiet.
No, not now.
Turn back now. Lord, I'm too close, too close.
This is the most ignorant show.
And I can't turn back now.
Of course nobody's going to go with me now.
I'm too close. Yes, I am.
Are you trying to get to heaven?
I'm too close.
But we can't make a stop.
Close, yes I am.
That's why you can't get mentored right there.
I said I'm too close.
All right. Well, so there's your answer. No. Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's the strawberry letter. Okay.
Are they swinging?
You don't want to miss it.
Are they swinging?
No.
I'm so far gone.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hi, Steve. We're inviting everyone to take a little trip with us come August 30th. Labor Day weekend, August 30th through September 3rd, we are going to Punta Cana.
Sand and Soul.
Dominican Republic. Sand and Soul Festival. Yes.
Sandandsoul.com.
Mm-hmm. Shirley and her
is
bikini.
That it?
Steve Harvey. Yeah, that's it.
Steve Harvey. Harvey. Sandandsoul.com.
Right. Uh-huh.
You got to go and check it out. It's what's the date, Shirley?
August 30th through September 3rd, Labor Day weekend.
That's
Steve.
Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. We have rooms at the Rio Hotel remaining, but here's the deal. If you stay next door, all the are still included in all the events. Your tickets there, you will have coverage to get into all of the events.
Yes.
24/7
Woo-hoo!
At the Hard Rock Hotel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But the Rio, when you stay there, it's all-inclusive also. All your food and all your drinks is included. So that's the big difference in this year's trip. I made it all-inclusive so you can leave your wallet at home. You ain't got to bring nothing. I'm going to have a cigar bar, cognac bar. I'm going to have you in here just doing it like I'm doing it. Big baller, shot caller. Ain't making no mistakes and leaving it all down at the lake. That's how we do it. That's from the words of my man, Don King.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we got a great lineup. DJs.
I'm going to be over there.
Steve Harvey will be live at the golf tournament. And we'll be hosting Showtime at the Apollo. I'm going to be hosting that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we're doing it this year. Y'all come on and join us. Go to SteveHarveySandAndSoul.com for information.
All right, go ahead and introduce the letter.
Buckle up, hold on tight. I have it for you, the strawberry letter.
Thank you, nephew. Subject, my husband pays for sex. Dear Shirley and Steve, I am 45 and my husband is 46. We have been married for almost 18 years and have 4 children. Sex between us was really good and often. My husband wanted sex anytime he saw me. I thought it was borderline neurotic, but my ego and my husband made me believe it was all about me. For a few years, it was every day, but eventually I got bored with it and kids came along and life required that I do other things. This became a point of contention for us. I tried to accommodate him as best I could, but eventually he started cheating on me and for the most part, I forgave him. We remained together and then had our twins, but from that point forward, sex was something I did because I had to or when I felt the urge to, but never when he wanted it and mostly with an attitude. Recently, I found out that he was having sexually explicit conversations with women on Facebook and exchanging naked pictures of himself, even some people who were friends with me. I never expected that part, but here we are. In the past few months, he has been having a lot of difficulty paying his portion of the bills, but when I asked him about it, he couldn't explain where his money was going. Then one weekend, after he missed the payment for our kids' karate and dance lessons, we had a big argument, and he blurted out that he had been paying for sex. I was floored. He blamed me for not satisfying him like a wife is supposed to and stormed out of the house. Under normal circumstances, this would be it. But here is where I am confused. In the past few years, I have become spiritual and a practicing Christian. I know I took vows to be with this man, but that was before God and church and Christianity was really a part of my life. I love church and I love God in a way that I never did before, and I want to do what is expected of me. But I can't believe that God wants me to stay with this man who has done this to our relationship with my help, I guess. Anyway, I know I have to forgive him, but I don't think I can ever sleep with this man again. Do I have to stay and try to work this out? I'm at my wit's end. He barely even acknowledged what he has done and still tries to sleep with me every night. I'm hurt and insulted, but I want to do what is right in a faithful way. Please help. You are married to someone really ridiculous, in my opinion. He has no priorities, no loyalties, no appreciation, no commitment to you, to the marriage, to God, to anything, to nothing. I mean, this is just stupid. You forgave him once. It meant nothing to him. He just made everything worse. That's why forgiveness is really not for the other person. It's for you, so you can move on. This is a marriage on paper only. It's not a real marriage because no husband would or even should ever treat their wife like this. I say get out of this mess. I know you're struggling with being a Christian and getting a divorce. I know that's what you're saying in the last part of your letter. But I got to tell you, there are many divorced Christians who have moved on with their lives. So if you want out at this point, you have to get out. I mean, you deserve to be happy not only for yourself but to show your kids a better life too. Steve?
You know, you had a husband. Y'all was having sex every single day for damn near 18 years. What? Who got this? Somebody ain't working. Somebody ain't working or somebody ain't doing nothing. Something going wrong 18 years every damn day. I mean, man, come on. Kids came along. And you got bored. Because, you know, when kids come along, there's other stuff you got to do. So you tried to accommodate him best I could, but eventually he started cheating on me. For the most part, I forgave him. I guess he explained to you that the reason he started cheating on you was because you wasn't putting out no more. Mm. We remained together, and then we had our twins. From that point on, sex was something I did because I had to or felt the urge to, or when I felt the urge to, but never when he wanted it. And mostly with an attitude, I don't want no mad sex.
Angry sex.
I don't like it. It just looks like, what you looking at me like that for? I don't want no mad, angry sex. It's like having, if your sex life was a video game, it'd be Angry Birds.
Angry Birds.
You're just flying over there, just knocking stuff over. I don't want no mad sex. So I'm gonna get your nails out my damn stomach like that. Just angry right here.
Yes.
Why you slap me that damn hard?
I hate you.
Damn, baby, you slap me in my mouth. I slap you on your ass. What's wrong?
Angry.
Is you
sex.
Finished yet? What are they? Hey, no, I'm not. But hell, I'm about to be.
Forget it. Just forget it.
Yeah, don't nobody want all that.
All right, we'll have part two of Steve's response coming up at 23 after the hour.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, come on, Steve. Let's get to part two of your response to today's strawberry letter.
Let me explain to you why the man
pays for sex.
Spent the baby karate money.
Yeah, you don't spend the baby's money though, Steve. Come on now.
I know, but let me tell you what the man thinks.
What?
If me and you ain't kicking it no more, then the baby don't need to be kicking.
Because of karate.
See? If me and you ain't kicking it no more,
the karate.
Then I'd be damned if the baby gonna be going somewhere kicking.
You're wrong for that, Steve. You are wrong
That's
for that.
That's why I spent the baby karate.
Okay. That's
now, here the part where the letter turned a little turn. You tried to go spiritual.
Yeah.
I become spiritual and a practicing Christian. I know it took vows to be with my man, but that was before God, church, or Christianity was really a part of my life. I love church. I love God in a way I never did before, and I want to do what's expected of me, but I can't believe that God wants me to stay with this man who has done this to our relationship with my help. I guess anyway, I know I had to forgive him, but I don't think I can ever sleep with this man again. Do I have to stay and try to work this out? I'm at my wit's end. He barely ever acknowledged that he's done and still tries to sleep with me every night. I'm hurting and insulted, but what do I do that what is right in a faithful way? Please help. First of all, let me explain something. Don't drag the Lord into this. Because, see, the Lord wasn't on Facebook. The Lord wasn't spending the kids karate money. You know, the Lord wasn't having sex every day for 18 years. So let's stop making him the reason. Because you done found him now. Mm-hmm. Listen to me. Vows get taken by two people. See, two people take them vows. Not just you. Two people take them vows. So now it's two people that's got to hold up the end of the deal. Now, if he ain't going to hold up his end of the deal, then it ain't no deal to uphold. Now, what they got to do with you being a Christian or not? And Shirley's correct about that. Yeah, a lot of Christians get divorced. I know ministers that get divorced. Mm-hmm. If you done picked the wrong one, you picked the wrong one. What you want to do? You want to stay with him? Go ahead. You haven't mentioned in this letter that this man a good husband, because he ain't. Mm-mm. A good father, he ain't got no time. You ain't really said nothing. The problem with this man is all this man wants is sex.
All right, Steve, we got to get out of here. You can email us or Instagram us your thoughts on today's strawberry letter at My Girl Shirley. Switching gears now, Tommy, did you want to ask Steve something?
You stated that you want to make $1 billion in the next 3 years. Now, I think I can beat that. I think I can beat that by 1 year. See, listen to me now. I predict I can make $1 billion in 2 years. Now, only thing is, Unc, I'm going to need your help.
Yeah.
The question I got for you, how
can
do
I
go
question,
about
though,
getting a
before
billion?
Before you ask me that, right? Mm-hmm. Now, if I got to help you get your $2 billion.
Uh-huh.
Ain't that going to take away from me trying to get my three?
But don't be greedy like this.
Well, is this a mentoring question?
I don't know. This is confused.
Okay, what do you want?
I just want to know how do I make $1 billion in 2 years. That's all I want.
That's your mentoring question?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Well, how many millions do you have?
Well, we can't...
Exactly!
I can't expose that call.
You got a million.
We jumping up a level? So, we know you got a minimum of one.
Yeah!
Ain't that a good start?
That's
a great start.
You understand what you're saying? Steve says he's going to make $3 billion.
Yeah.
I mean, $1 billion in 3 years.
Right.
Okay, so you're saying you can beat his 3 years and make your billion in 2 years.
If he helped me. I just want to know how you get there.
That's your first mentoring question for your
uncle. Why go small? He always say shoot for the stars.
Right. So here's my question to you.
Go ahead.
What can you do right now that could generate $10 million over the next year?
Oh, man, me and you? Let me see.
No. What can you do right now, you yourself,
me
to
and
generate $10 million over the next
year? I'm going to have to link it to you, though. Me and you.
No. Listen to me. You cannot link me.
Why
this
am
has
I
to
not?
Be something because, listen to me, boy, this is the problem. People always tie their dreams and visions to somebody else.
No.
When in actuality, security is only that which you can provide for yourself. What can you do yourself? So ain't wasn't nobody, man, if he had showed up, man, if he'd have gave me this, it would have happened. No, you don't need that. What can you do to produce $10 million over the next year?
Well, I thought I was utilizing my resources. You one of my resources.
Man, go ahead and just tell me how you're going to do it, man.
Hell.
You need some help, Tommy? You want me help?
On, how
Tommy,
you gonna make
money? I'll tell you what.
Right.
I'll tell you what. That's what we do.
Okay.
I'm gonna shoot a movie for $5 million.
Yeah, and I'm not paying for that.
Why not? How's we gonna get somewhere if you had this
See,
kind of attitude?
One more time. The question was, how can you produce $10 million? Now you already need my $5 million,
and that's how I can do it.
But listen to me. You still don't have 10 million. You done took my five, and ain't no guarantee this movie gonna do a damn thing. But your track record.
Trust
Let's
me.
Just look at who stole Papa trust Ray you. Money.
Oh,
it opened and closed in the same weekend.
I was there.
Where we gonna get distribution for this movie you done wrote?
We gonna get it. Just ride with me,
where?
Man. From
Papa Ray's money.
From some of these people you got in your phone. You got all these.
Stop talking about me.
Well, how's we going?
You don't have a clue how to get 10 million.
Does he have a million? Clue. I'm with Carla. Does he have a million?
He has 8 million. He said that.
Yeah, he got a million.
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's been various things.
Yeah, we ain't finna spend my million, though. Now, that's not going to happen.
See right there?
That's where you draw the
right
line.
There?
No,
right.
Buddy.
Yeah, we ain't using your million, right? Okay, right. Cool. Then, but how the hell you going to use my five?
Because you have so many more of them.
All right, listen, coming up in about 10 minutes, Carla, you're going to have a special edition of Reality Update.
Yes,
all
and
right.
The fellas are going to want to get into this.
Okay, all right, that's about 10 minutes, okay?
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special edition of Reality Update. Put your hands together, the one, the only, Carla Farrow. Yay, yay.
All right, thank you, nephew. Okay, so we got the special edition of Reality Update on this
Tuesday.
Okay,
what happened?
Okay, so first of all, let's just say this. Your show is back, Steve. Last night, Love and Hip Hop ATL Atlanta is back. Season 7 premieres. Stevie J, Mimi, Rashida, Kirk, Tommy and them, they are back. I'm really sick of Kirk and Jasmine, the baby. Rashida is such a boss. I don't understand Kirk.
Hey, hey.
Yeah.
What happened to my boy Jocelyn and Stevie?
Stevie J, he's still on the show. And there's some new people. Erica Mena, she's on the show.
Oh, Jocelyn ain't on it no more?
Nah, Jocelyn, you know, she kind of tripped out last season.
Yeah.
Wow, man. Maybe she had the baby, and yeah, she kind of tripped out. But this is what I want to talk to you guys about. We'll talk about Love and Hip Hop Atlanta later. We'll let people get a chance to catch up on it if you didn't get a chance to see it last night. Sunday's episode of Real Housewives of Atlanta. This is what
they do
I
now.
To you guys about. Now, the ladies were back from Spain, and we know that Nene is pursuing a career in stand-up comedy. Well, she did an event. This was not televised on the show or on the particular episode on this past Sunday, but while on stage, they talked about this on the show, Nene addressed a heckler. And she basically went there with this heckler, and then she told the heckler, "I hope you get raped by your Uber driver."
That's foul.
Yeah,
we that talked was about very, very
we talked about that.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah,
talk
we
about
talked
that.
About this when we heard about it happening. So Sunday night, they addressed it on the show.
Oh, man.
So now take a listen. Nene is telling Cynthia and Marlo, some of the other cast members, what happened and how sorry she was for saying what she said. Take a listen.
So as I go into the joke, the person on the front is, you know, talking while I'm talking. And she says, "Kill yourself." You know,
she said, "Kill yourself."
When she tell me to kill myself, I'm so quick to fight back. I have to learn to not fight back.
This is...
I hate that I said what I said to the man. I just
listen.
Oh my God. I know, but listen, nobody even, Nene, listen, knows that that person even said that to you.
That's so bad.
I know. It was a mistake. You didn't know. Nobody cares what she says. They don't
know what you should say. That I don't want to tell it. And for the person to say what they said, I just instantly started fighting back.
Did you apologize?
I did. I did.
You made a mistake. You're going to make a mistake sometime.
Wow.
First of all, she got to get out of comedy.
Yeah.
That,
yeah,
because
now
I ain't never cried
over a heckler.
Now, I ain't never cried over a heckler. 33 years.
Mm-mm, I wouldn't.
I done fired off some zangers.
Yeah.
No, she got to get
zingers.
Out of comedy.
Yeah. Kill yourself broke her down.
Kill yourself.
Broke her.
Yeah.
No.
Well, her
clap Kill yourself.
Back. Yeah.
There's a lot of
dog, I've
come
been
back.
Called the N-word. You ain't funny. I'd have done everything. She got to get out of comedy. It's not for her.
Yeah, that's going to break you down.
Well, what kind of advice do you, what would you do? How
get
do you handle
out of
hecklers?
Comedy. Yeah. Oh, I handle hecklers. You going to kill me. Oh, well, we all going to die this evening.
Yeah.
Oh, everybody going to have a little death this evening. Matter of fact, I'm finna nail yourself. You to the cross. Soon as you say that to me, you can start, you can lay on the ground and lay on this wooden cross, and we're going to start nailing your ass to it.
But
oh, and since you want to be in the show,
right?
Oh, now you finna be the show.
Mm.
Oh, and you finna stay in the show a little bit longer than you want to. I'm going to humiliate your ass.
Wow.
Yeah, you well, can that's, dedicate that's a good the thing. 15, so that was her clapback when she said, "I hope you get raped by an Uber driver." And that controversial clapback that she had, she lost her gig because she was
with Escape.
With Escape tour, she was supposed to be booked on the tour with Escape. You remember Candy's group from the 90s? They got back together. They were going on tour.
Oh, and open up for that, host that.
Yeah, she was supposed to open up for that. And the group members felt that they didn't want her a part of it.
Well,
the promoter was like, no.
But listen to me. Uh-huh. At no point in the 70s, 80s, nothing, is rape a joke subject.
No, it's not.
Right, right.
Listen to me. Here's the deal. This is what I teach all young comics.
Okay.
There's 250 don'ts in comedy. After that, you can do anything you want to.
Wow.
But you need to learn the 250 don'ts. After you learn the 250 don'ts, you can do anything. Rape is not a jokeable subject. It's just not.
No.
It's
absolutely not.
It's not a clapback. It's not a comeback for a heckler. Rape is too vile of a word.
It shouldn't even be.
Yeah,
it shouldn't be used, period, man.
No. Mm-hmm.
Now, if that comes out your mouth, what does that say about you?
You're not a comic.
Well, you know what?
Now, another thing, too. The girl could have said, because it wasn't going good, the girl could have said, y'all just kill yourself.
Yeah, we don't know in what context. Because
you up there dying anyway.
Oh,
you
yeah,
the heckler
been,
said it.
Could've been,
yeah.
Her show could have been dying.
Yeah.
It could have been. Boy, I know you want to kill yourself right now.
Yeah, and Nene felt extra badly because, she's done work, with domestic violence and all of that, So,
awareness.
Yeah, she really felt bad about that.
First of all, comedy is nothing that you go and become.
You better say that.
No, man.
Let me just help you all with this. Okay. Being a comedian and being a stand-up comedian, it's nothing you go and become. You are born into this.
Mm-hmm. It's in there.
If you're not born into this, this is not for you.
Everybody don't use it, but you have.
You can't learn this. This ain't teachable. Ain't no classes for this. This is not what she do. She can be a host, an MC, an actress. She can be all. You can go take acting lessons. You can't take comedy lessons. She got to get out of this here.
All right, she's hosting more now. I think she's back on the road again. I saw her Friday night.
You saw her the other day,
yeah,
right?
I saw her
now somebody say, kill yourself.
Oh. Yeah. All right, coming up at the top of the hour, this story straight out of the UK. Prince Harry, no prenup.
Whoa!
Prince Harry.
Mm.
We won't prenup.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, guys. What were you going to say? What were you going to ask?
Steve is on stage. He's the stand-up now.
All right.
Uncle Steve is on stage. All right? Uh-huh. I'm the heckler outside in the audience.
Okay.
Okay. I don't know nothing what you going to say, Tommy.
Okay.
I'm on stage. I'm working. I ain't. Okay. Right quick. Let me get in my zone. I'm working.
Okay.
Now go ahead and start heckling.
That's your zone.
You're dying up there. Why don't you just kill yourself?
Okay. I will. You first.
Okay. Since we
killed him. Yeah, no, I'm with it. If you dive, that's what we're doing. I'm down with it. You first. Ready, set, go.
Hey, that joke fell flat as a pancake. Why don't you get out of here? Yeah. Kill yourself.
Nah, it's flat like your mama's behind.
Whoa.
Not your mama.
Ah, come on, Tommy. Tommy, now you ain't got to say kill yourself.
Okay.
You can just holler out insults.
Woo! This show is ugly right here, isn't it, buddy?
What's ugly? Ugly? Now ain't as ugly as your date.
Wow.
You rolled in with that. I don't know how you having trouble with me.
Ooh, the heckler gets heckled. Go ahead.
Oh,
yeah.
I do his ass.
How much lower can this show get, pal? Wow.
Well, you short, so I'm getting down there where you at.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. This entire show stinks. What are you doing?
That's your breath you're smelling. And another thing, tell her to quit talking to you. The air clear right up.
Oh, my God.
This while the audience laughs. Yeah.
I've been to a circus that's way better than this, man.
You've been to a circus that's better than this?
Yes.
Hell, go back. Ain't that where you work anyway? Yeah, you bought one of the animals.
More girlfriend jokes?
Keep zinging her.
She's going to have to leave.
Yeah.
But never once did he say that other line. Never once.
No.
That's how you do it.
That's all you got to do, man. You just got to be clever. You got to come back. You know, clap back is real. Yeah. I specialize in hecklers. Yeah. Oh, I made a fool out you, man. I had bits written all. What else you got, Shirley?
All right, listen. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle are all set to get married in May of this year in St. George's Chapel at Windsor Castle in the UK. The two are extremely excited to be saying their I do's, but with some shocking reveal, Prince Harry is not interested in having his fiancée sign a prenup, okay?
Go on, Prince Harry.
What the Queen say, though?
Where they going to get married?
In England.
Oh, yeah. Oh, well, over there. You can't get none of the royalty money.
Okay. Some outlets.
So you don't need
for no prenup. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Some outlets have claimed that Prince Harry's net worth is $40 million or more, while Meghan Markle's net worth is around $7 million. But the youngest son of the late Princess Diana doesn't care about his fortune when it comes to his future wife. Aw. He's determined that his marriage will be a lasting one, so there is no need for him to sign anything. A lot of people go into marriage believing that. Yeah.
Yeah. No prenup.
Yeah. No prenup. So, Steve, what do you think about prenups and
cool.
all that?
Mm-hmm. You know, it ain't his money. It's his power. Mm. It's his reign. It's his family. His lineage. He don't care. He's set for life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. She can't get none of that money. That money ain't lined up like that for him. His net worth, $40
million. God, man.
And she's 7, so it's not like, you know,
no.
She's coming in with nothing.
No.
Just to be a princess. No,
she good. They in love. Mm-hmm. They good. I ain't got no prenup.
I know. They look like
they
really
are in love.
You ain't got no prenup?
Hell no. Me and my girl going to the tape, dog.
To the end.
Tom, you got a prenup?
I don't. No.
Sure.
When you make your billion, you're going to have a prenup?
When I make my billion, I'm staging my death.
Here we go with that again.
We can kill all this here.
You gotta wear
y'all going to be at my funeral and everything, man. Oh, I don't know what y'all talking about. When I get this B, what?
I'm staging
everybody getting out my damn life, man.
Steve, help. Now, this is what you can mentor him on right here.
What? You can't change that part. When I get that B, I'm getting shot in front of them kids and everybody else. Right
what?
There on the patio.
Honey?
What? What?
Stop saying
Daddy
that.
Daddy died on the patio. They're going to pack my ass out of there. I'm gone.
Faking your death is illegal.
When the yes, EMS get down the street, I'm jumping out, walking, going to get my B. What?
Man, I ain't mad at you, though.
Why aren't you? You should be mad at him.
Oh,
saying this ignorant mess.
He said, I'm staging my deal. I'm getting shot in front of my kids.
In front of them kids.
It's, pow! I thought you were staging.
He said, if I get this $1 billion, I got to get rid of my family.
That's when if he was going to win the lottery, Steve. Now.
Yeah, but this billion, same thing. He got to. Tommy get a billion, he got to get rid of his family.
There's no other way around.
Yeah, because they can't bear witness to what I'm finna do.
Woo!
The last time they say daddy, they will be screaming.
This is awful. This is really
That's
bad.
Horrible.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Right there on that patio. I'm out,
Tommy. Stop saying that.
Man.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's horrible.
All right. I'm sorry.
Stop saying that.
I don't know if it's horrible, but the show is fun.
It is horrible, Junior.
It's a joke, Shirley.
I don't like
brilliant.
It. I don't like it.
I'm staging my death.
I get a billion, Tommy.
In front of everybody. Pow!
Only the men think this joke is funny.
In front of my kids.
Shirley, it's not funny.
Tommy, you could go to your own funeral as Papa Ray.
Don't
just
nobody
be sitting up there crying.
I listen. That boy I told
that boy wasn't gonna work out.
We're changing the subject, but we will be back.
Oh man.
Mm-hmm. We're changing.
Shawty laying right there in the whole yard in front of everyone. I told
you. Funny.
Oh, man.
Y'all ain't gonna go to my funeral.
No.
You and Carl ain't gonna make my funeral.
I'll go just to help you play it off. I'm gonna need $10 million though. Or I'm gonna tell it.
You're accessory.
Yeah, he's an accessory.
Yeah, I'm gonna need $20 million though. I'm telling it. You'll be lying the next morning if I don't get $25 million. I'm wired to
raising
you'll
it take the day. Family to him.
Man, to hit his food, man. Get man. Your ass up, Tommy. Man, Jackie will kill you.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Hi, Steve. We're inviting everyone to take a little trip with us come August 30th, Labor Day weekend, August 30th through September 3rd. We are going to Punta Cana.
Sand and Soul.
Dominican Republic. Sand and Soul Festival. Yes.
Yay, yay.
Yes. I can't wait.
Sandandsoul.com. Mm-hmm.
Shirley and her
is
bikini.
That it?
Steve Harvey. Yeah, that's it.
Steve Harvey. Harvey sandandsoul.com.
Right. Uh-huh.
You got to go and check it out. It's what's the date, Shirley?
August 30th through September 3rd, Labor Day weekend.
That's
Steve.
Labor Day weekend. Mm-hmm. We have rooms at the Rio Hotel remaining. But here's the deal. If you stay next door, all your food and all your drinks is included. Still included in all the events. Your tickets there, you will have coverage to get into all of the events.
Yes.
24/7 at the Hard Rock Hotel.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But the Rio, when you stay there, it's all inclusive also. All your food and all your drinks is included. So that's the big difference in this year's trip. I made it all inclusive so you can leave your wallet at home. You ain't got to bring nothing. I'm going to have a cigar bar, cognac bar. I'm going to have you in here just doing it like I'm doing it. Big baller, shot caller. Ain't making no mistakes and leaving it all down at the lake. That's how we do it. That's from the words of my man Don King.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So we got a great lineup. DJs, the DJs that we do. Will be Biz Markie.
Biz Markie.
We got DJ Mars. We got DJ Tay Rock. So those are the DJs, the comedians.
Let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, Precious.
Precious.
Oh,
Precious,
that's my girl.
Shout Precious.
He's
our
so funny.
Boy,
he's funny.
Junior.
I'm definitely going to be there.
Kill Spate.
Junior boy.
Junior.
Definitely going to be there.
Your headliner. The incomparable Earthquake.
Shake it up.
Yes, sir.
That's going to be
good. The host
for
the events, Shirley Strawberry, will be hosting.
Yeah.
Carla Pharrell will be hosting.
Yes, sir.
Yeah,
Kia Spates will be hosting.
Yes, I will be.
Cheryl Underwood will be hosting.
Oh, yeah.
Monica Mississippi Barnes will be hosting.
Oh, yeah.
The artist, Montel Jordan.
This is how we do it.
Dougie Fresh.
6 minutes.
Yeah.
Six
and the
minutes.
Big headliner, the one and only Kim.
Woo!
Kim. Sexy.
For the
all special appearances.
Uh-huh.
Marjorie Harvey's Beauty Bar.
Uh-oh.
Marjorie.
Sitting up and letting y'all have all them secrets. Get your skin where you want it to be.
Hmm.
I'ma be over.
Steve Harvey will be live at the golf tournament and will be hosting Showtime at the Apollo.
We got to
it's
have
at
you
night.
That.
I'm doing it.
You got
can't
to
nobody do. Host Apollo like
no,
me.
No, no.
Right. Also, we're going to have a live Q&A. It's an Act Like a Success Masterclass. I'm going to be hosting that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way we're doing it this year. Those are the events. Y'all come on and join us. Go to SteveHarveySandAndSoul.com for information.
Well, Steve, when you say a live Q&A, too, that's with the morning show crew. That's with us. The phone number is 800-684-2825.
Yeah, that may get changed to a masterclass, Shirley.
Well, we do have a masterclass, Act Like a Success masterclass.
Shirley and Carla.
What?
Yes.
I was going to get y'all some swimsuits for the weekend. Y'all want bikini or how y'all, what kind of y'all?
We gotta go. We'll be back with more of this.
Oh, y'all
ignorance.
Y'all gonna wear what I buy.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
Coming up at the top of the hour, right about 4 minutes after, it's today's Strawberry Letter. But up next, it's the nephew. All right, Steve, so you were saying about, you know, what Warren Buffett said. And
you know, I was going to ask you to make a statement about me, but I've changed my mind. Let me just say this. Warren Buffett is correct in that money does not make you happy. Mm-hmm. If you're not a happy person, getting money not going to make you happy. Now, I jokingly said that it made me a lot happier. It opened up. But what it did was I was really already a happy person. Mm-hmm. I may have been in some dark places or some dark spots in my life, but I was basically a happy person. So being a little bit more well-to-do has just created an opportunity to do more with the happiness. Mm-hmm. That's what it does. The real thing about money is it just takes all emergencies and turns them into mere inconveniences. It just makes your life a little bit more convenient.
Well, what about when you said having more money just makes you more of who you are? Remember you
said
that?
Yeah, that's a true statement. Uh-huh. So like if you're an unhappy person, a lot of money, you're going to be more reasons to be unhappy.
Just rich and mad.
Yeah, just rich and sad. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of very rich, sad people out there, yeah. You know, who know the principles of success, but for some reason can't pull that part of their life together for very reasons. So I've been generous. I've been overly generous at times. I've had to learn how of late to cut that back because people take advantage of it. I've been more than generous in my life because I'm a generous person. My father was. He'll give you the shirt off his back. I got that from him. My mother always told me, she said, you just like your daddy. Your daddy do anything he can to help somebody he care about. Mm. He said, you just like him. And you just like him too because you'll fight. You and your daddy just fight.
And boy, was she right.
Come home some night, just shirt toe off. He'll change his shirt and go back down there. I said, well, yeah.
So at least cool. We know where you got it from. You got it honest.
So I'm cool with that, but that's what I wanted to say.
Okay.
Hey, let's talk about the NBA for a minute. I mean, not the NBA, the NCAA. Let's talk. Let's talk basketball, man. Baby. We got the brackets. There's been a lot of upsets. The Sweet 16 is in the South bracket. We got Kansas State and Kentucky. Mm-hmm. Kentucky is number 5 and Kansas State is number 9. Mm-hmm. I predict Kentucky to come out of there. The big upset, Loyola Chicago shocked Tennessee, yeah. Which I kind of saw that coming. I was thinking that. I didn't pick them early, but I got on the bandwagon against Nevada. Now, they 11, Nevada number 7. I think Loyola Chicago, them boys up there going to shock Nevada
That's the Cinderella, huh? That's the Cinderella.
That's the Cinderella team. Yeah,
yeah, I think they going to shock Nevada, too. You're right, Tommy. Xavier and Florida State. Now, I told you. Florida State. I told you the team from Florida. I couldn't figure out the name of it, but here we is, though.
Yeah, but they finna go up against Gonzaga now.
Nah, they going up against, oh, yeah, that's right. They up against Gonzaga.
Yeah.
Because they beat Xavier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they did.
See, I told y'all, that stunned them.
Man.
Now, Gonzaga hard to beat because they go there every year. So I'm just in prayer with Florida State. Houston had Michigan, man.
They did.
Had them.
Had Michigan. Michigan beat Houston, so they against Texas A&M. That's Tommy's old college. So automatically, I pulls for Michigan.
See, you foul.
See, that's wrong.
They gave y'all Johnny Manziel.
Ever since they gave us that drunk-ass quarterback.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.
All right, we are back. This is our last break of the day. Good day this Tuesday. Steve, we're ready for your closing remarks. I'm so happy they're back.
Today, I want to give you all something that came to me. It came to me this morning. I was been in really, over the weekend, I was doing a lot of prayerful meditating over the weekend. You know, just trying to recenter myself. You know, sometimes I get a little off, you know. I see myself sliding off course. I'm forgetting to be grateful as I should. I start working on some things that I want to happen so badly. I keep pouring a lot of time into it. I keep, you know, reviewing my plans and goals. And sometimes, you know, you second guess stuff. And sometimes you spend a lot of time just scratching your head trying to figure out your next move. I'm sure everybody can relate to that. How you sit up in here, man, and some of your best laid plans seem to be going awry and you just can't figure it out. I was sitting up and somebody sent me this morning, and it's entitled Release. And as I read it, I just want to share with you the thoughts that I was having when I was reading this thing called release. And it says, Heavenly Father, I release to you the burdens that I have been carrying, burdens that you never intended for me to carry. You know, when I read that, it meant something to me, because a lot of the stuff that's on us that we carrying around, he don't even intend for us to carry it around. We just carrying it around because we done took it upon ourselves to worry about it. We done took it upon ourselves that this is now this albatross around our neck, when God really didn't intend for that. You know, other people's problems really ain't your problems. They can bring it to you, but that don't mean it's yours. So you end up carrying around stuff that God never intended for you to carry. You know, like you hear your great grandmama used to say, don't let other people put their trash in your trash can, because you need all that room for your trash. But now you carrying around somebody else's. Then it goes on to say, I cast all my cares upon you, all my worries, all my fears. You have told me to not be anxious about anything, but rather to bring everything to you in prayer with thankfulness. Man, I had forgotten about that. And when I read that, it reminded me that I shouldn't be anxious about these deals I'm working on, my next move, what I need to get done. Why am I tripping about that? I don't know how it's going to turn out anyway. I'm anxious about something that I actually have no control over. So I just said to me, Steve, just turn this over to who got all this in control and let him have it and be grateful for what you have. And then it says, Father, calm my relentless spirit, quiet my anxious heart, still my troubling thoughts with the assurance that you are in control. Man, ain't that cool? When you turn something over to God and all of a sudden you have a calmness, a quiet and a stillness, because you ain't got to worry about it no more. Then it says, I let go of my grip upon the things that I've been hanging on to. With open hands, I come to you. I release to you and will all that I am trying to manipulate. I release to you all that I'm trying to manipulate. So if you let go of stuff, if you let go of a lot of stuff that you're hanging on to, y'all, you can go to God with open hands. If you go to God with open hands, he got something to feel now. But if you hanging on and got a death grip on a whole bunch of stuff that you can't do nothing about and it's really meaningless, you ain't got room to receive what he got for you. So I release to you all that I am trying to manipulate. I release to you your authority. All that I am trying to control, I release to your timing all that I have been striving to make happen. Everything I've been trying to make happen, I'm going to let you make it happen. Everything I've been wanting to happen at a certain time, I'm going to let that happen in your time. You do it in your time when it's your will for me. It's called release. Just let it go, man. Because you tripping about stuff you really can't control. That's an amazing thing. Then it says, I thank you for your promise to sustain me. Because that's his promise, to sustain you. Preserve me and guard all that I have entrusted to your keeping. So now when you turn it over to God and you let him have it and you release this grip on this stuff that you have no control over and you ask for his calmness and your quiet and you release everything to him, guess what? Now you can just trust that you done put it in the right hands. You got it in the best hands. So he gonna protect that. Now he watching over it instead of you watching over it. Now who would you rather have watching over something, you or God? Protect my heart and mind with your peace, the peace that passes all understanding. Father, may your will be done in my life. That was powerful to me, man. And I read that this morning, mm-hmm. and I said, wow. I'm going to share that with everybody because that really helped me today, man. That it allowed me to let go of something, mm-hmm. to let go of stuff that I've been hanging on to, trying to make stuff happen when it's so much stuff that's out of my control. If you just let it go, turn it over to God and be all right with it, because mm-hmm. he been having you. Mm-hmm. Why would he not have this? But we grab ourselves and we want to be a part of it so much that we end up getting in the way. Hmm. So I ask that this will be done in my life, in your time and in your way. However he want to do it and whenever he want to do it, I'm cool with that. Stop being anxious for everything, y'all. Step back, turn it over to God, and let him do what he do. You feel me?
Feel you. That was good, yes, Steve. Sir.
For all Steve Harvey contests, no purchase necessary, void where prohibited. Participants must be legal U.S. residents at least 18 years old, unless otherwise stated. For complete contest rules, visit steveharvey.com.
You're listening to the Steve Harvey Morning Show.